This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Good morning and good afternoon to each and every one of our merry, merry Marvelites. Welcome to Marvel Movie Talk right here on Geekscape, exclusively on Geekscape, not on the Bladcast, though that's a great channel as well. In any case, we are here not to bury Loki, but to celebrate him, and we are going to honor Season 2 of Loki. As always, I'm Christian Blatt, joined by Nate Miller. Hello, Nate.
Hello.
And our favorite Brooklyn boy, the one and only David Brody.
Greetings, everyone.
And Delaware's finest, the person from Delaware to achieve the highest office in all the land, Eric Connor. Thank you for being here.
It is with glorious purpose I am here. Thank you.
That's right. Tax-free, glorious purpose, just to bring it back to good old Delaware. So for people who haven't caught our show on Geekscape and haven't been keeping up week to week, but they want to see our thoughts on the finale, let's just spend a moment very quickly. We'll go round robin, as it were, and just get people's thoughts on the season heading into the finale, and then we're going to spend most of the show on the finale. I'll start with you, Nate.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic, really good storytelling, like wrapping everything up together. The imagery this episode was beautiful, and like even the whole season as a whole, just like this show has really great art direction and a sense of style, and you can really feel it in every aspect. So I had the bar set pretty high because I really enjoyed last season. It was my favorite of the Marvel shows, and I think this one, like, each episode, the pacing was great. I really liked it. The bar was high, and I was not disappointed at all.
Yeah, I agree with basically everything that you said. I really enjoyed the first season. I was excited that we were going to get more, but honestly expected some level of disappointment. David Brody, heading into last night's finale, what were your thoughts, and how do you feel about this season two as a whole?
Well, I love the first five episodes. Again, visually stunning. The acting was great. The plot kept me guessing as to how they were going to end it. I had no idea how it was going to end exactly. And I was very, very happy with the way it ended for all concerned. Although I would like clarity on what the next step is for that character. Hopefully we'll see. I hope he doesn't remain there forever because he's too good. But I loved it. Really enjoyed the season.
And Mr. Connor, your thoughts on season two as a whole before we dive in specifically to episode six?
Sure. Not to use a word that might trigger us, but to echo the sentiment of what y'all said. This show, I think, really shows its reason for being. And I think, you know, we've had some run-ins with the multiverse to varying levels of success, right, between Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. But I think this is the one that emotionally keeps us the most keyed in. Though I did find some of the finale sort of twisted my head in knots, but I feel like they were always so strongly rooted in character and world, even as the rules of the world got a little bit funky. But the design, the style, that music, I know we've talked about the music a bit before.
Sure, yeah.
But my God, how great that music is. Like, one of the most interesting scores on TV that I've been hearing over the last couple of years. So I think Loki repeatedly shows how this is the one of all their shows that just might be the cut above. Like, it's cinematic, it's smart, the acting is absolutely terrific, and I would miss Loki as well. David, I think you said that. Like, I hope Loki's not trapped there forever, because I do want more. And particularly because I know how Michael reacts, which only adds to the pleasure, as we all know.
Well, unlike Beetlejuice, you only have to say his name once for him to materialize. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dark Prince of the MCU, Michael X. Shirley.
Cheers, Michael, everyone. Cheers.
Has a little early morning. I don't know if that's a mimosa.
It was so on. Wait, is he drinking?
I mean, you see him. He's got something. I'll point out that it's noon where he is. So it's absolutely
noon somewhere.
This is a time for you to celebrate. We've lost our friend David Brody for a moment. So we won't play America's favorite game for people that are just joining us for this installment, hearing it for the first time. We do play a weekly game on this show. What did Michael like? Because Michael does not enjoy the show, does not enjoy the Loki portrayal by Tom Hiddleston.
Not one bit.
But today is a new day for you, Michael Shirley. Today is the day for your glorious purpose.
I know. I'm wearing satin for Eric. I know how much he loves me in satin.
Hey, listen.
Well, look.
My eyes, it's a treat for the eyes and the touch. So thank you.
You are our knight in white satin. So I appreciate that. It's not white satin, it's purple satin. But Daniel Drew is
black.
Enjoying very much. Yes.
You get your eyes checked.
Well, you're our Dane Whitman, the black knight in black satin. That's who you are. In any case, Michael. We don't want to play the game without Mr. Brody, but just your overall feeling. So you have seen, I guess, 12 episodes of Loki over two seasons, and we'll go into it. My expectation is that there will be no more episodes of Loki. Would you feel like this is the definition of it was a good day for you, Michael?
Yeah. Saying goodbye to all the little people.
Even Miss Minutes?
The littlest of the people.
Yeah, but look how happy she is right there on Eric's screen.
I actually grew to hate her and that stupid, like yokey-dokey accent of hers.
I really thought you were going to like her more when we found out in another episode how much she enjoyed watching people be tortured. I felt like a kinship for the two of you. Mm-hmm. But let's go into the specifics, Nate. You kind of touched on it when we did the overview on this entire second season of Loki. What did you feel personally were the things that that really made this a fitting finale for this variant of Loki? Who, look, they're talking about they're having high level meetings at Marvel Studios about bringing all the original Avengers back. So just like comic books. Nobody is ever gone forever if they don't, if the check is right. But I feel like we wouldn't see him for a while. So what do you feel, Nate, about this ending for at least this iteration of the character of Loki?
I thought it was great. I thought it really, this season, this show with the first season and this season, like really, in my opinion, really captures the comic book storytelling feel, like partly in terms of the pace of the six episode, parallel to the six issue kind of a thing. And I think being able to tie it all together, especially in a time traveling story, especially one with so many different layers, different variants, so to speak, of time travel. I think it's really hard to land those endings and make them feel satisfying, and especially when you have a world, a multiverse that has lots of other things that have to interact with that multiverse. So having the decision to make this variant of Loki, because I'm sure that we will see Loki again. It won't be this Loki. Having him like form Yggdrasil from like the strands of dead time, like that was just so epic. It was so cool, and like it totally makes sense, not at all the direction that I thought they were going to go in, but I'm glad that they didn't, because now we don't have to have 8 million videos about how the timeline, how this plot hole works, how this none of that, all of the stuff that we know before and all the stuff that comes after is all contained within that, you know, world tree, so to speak, of timelines. And so everything makes sense now. There is no, you know, well, what about this one is pruned and is this on the sacred timeline and blah, 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 blah. And I like the concept that, like, even outside of it, it really helps make Loki be a self-contained story that still affects the outside world. But yeah, all of everything we saw of the sacred timeline, the pruning, all of that stuff only happens within the context of the Loki show, the sacred timeline that we saw. Outside of that, everything else that we have seen is stuff that's on, you know, this timeline that he has now kind of like resurrected and holding all these branches in. So just from a writing perspective, I thought it was really cool. And again, like the characters, like when we first meet him in this show and Mobius is talking to him about how like your whole purpose is to fail so that other people can be who they need to be, like tell their stories, right, or whatever. Right. And like, this is an excellent encapsulation of allowing him to fulfill that destiny and fulfill that, get on that throne that he wanted to and have that power. But also it's both sides of the coin of that. He has to then sacrifice himself in order to give everybody else, literally everyone in all existence and time, an opportunity to like be themselves and live their lives and stuff. So I just thought that was awesome. And
yeah, and I think that it's not the way that it looked like it was shaping up. You know, I mean, they really sort of embrace this concept of what he says in the first episode, his glorious purpose. And it's interesting because I just mentioned there's 12 episodes of the show over two seasons, but they do a thing that you will see more often for shows that are on for much longer, you know, where he's jumping around earlier episodes, literally reminding me of the finale of Quantum Leap. You know, he's like showing up in earlier episodes. He shows up in like the first scene in the first episode of Loki, and he's, you know, just sort of touching in and touching base with that Mobius, you know. And I thought it was interesting to sort of bring it all together in a way that isn't what I was expecting. I think that somebody in the chat, I believe it was Craig checking in from across the pond, he was laughing through the time skipping montage. This is like the Marvel content that feels the because of how much it deals with time travel and timelines and things, it has a lot of moments that included that feel like it's something you would see on Doctor Who. The idea that he spent centuries learning what he needed to know and he tried it time and time again and it still didn't work. I just expected that he was the realization that He Who Remains had, is what I was having as I was watching it last night. Oh, he's going to have to kill Sylvie. It's just that simple. But then he figured out a way around it. So I was definitely a little bit surprised by that. And our visual audience is seeing, you said it so nicely, Nate. Why don't you say Yggdrasil's name? How did you say it?
Yeah, Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil, all right.
I'm just throwing consonants at a wall there. I don't know.
Cheers.
I'm going to put a screenshot to that on my phone for the next time I play Scrabble, because I feel like those letters might show up on the board. But Eric, I do want to ask you sort of what you thought about the way that it was tied together and how that meshes with, you know, as you were watching, where you thought it was going. And of course, if I'm going to go to Eric Connor, I will use a graphic that he sent me, which was the Loki Die Repeat, which is definitely what this felt like. What was the actual name of that movie in the U.S.?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
Based on All You Need Is Kill, and then they rebranded it Loki, Live, Die, Repeat in the middle of its run.
Right. Brilliant. Yeah, and I can, So your thoughts as you're watching Loki Die Repeat, what were you thinking?
Well, to quote another show, True Detective, is a time is a flat circle. So even the visual you have behind that of all of them on the clock. But there was so much about a circle here, which I thought was kind of great. And they definitely had the sort of fun and games of it, right? And how many times we heard Victor die. And they were like, how many different ways can we film it? It's like, you just got to go a little faster than... Ah! and that great horrible sound effect of his death is they kept reusing it. And I think it was also fun too, because you had Obi's he spent a year and a half and it ruined his marriage to build his version of the machine, you know. But then it's kind of like, look, as I will hold my drink, I'm going to do a couple centuries worth of homework here. So definitely, you know, they owe a debt of gratitude to Live, Die, Repeat, to Groundhog Day. And yet they very much made it Loki style. Him and Sylvie trying to, you know, battle He Who Remains and the various ways they had her kill him. And we just kept hearing, I'll see you soon. And by the way, Tom Hiddleston, I know I'm speaking for Michael here as well. So terrific in this. And because this is a concept that could have gotten really old really fast in this episode. But his his shadings of performance, I thought, was the thing that really just nailed it, you know. And as the episode went on, I mean, this was, I never necessarily thought of him as being kind of Emmy worthy with this show, just because he's very good in it, but it's not necessarily next level. But with this episode, I'm like suddenly rethinking that, because I thought he brought so much to this. I mean, when you think about all the things he had to do and how complicated that is as an actor, they're shooting this thing out of sequence. You know, you're doing multiple takes. It's like trying to keep it all straight. And yet he was the thing that kept this thing consistent and made it emotionally available for us as an audience.
The one touch that I enjoyed was, if you notice, after he's, you know, centuries later and all of that, just how dirty his shirt is at that point. So, you know, I thought that it was very interesting to see that even, you know, you can do that. I thought that, you know, I don't know if we're allowed to give credit to Jonathan Majors these days, but just looking at in terms of the performance, we have him dying many times, as you're talking about, as Victor Timely. We have him reprising He Who Remains, making fun of Victor Timely, by the way, which I thought was a nice touch. But just the, oh, you don't know how to pause time yet. Oh, interesting. And just sort of like, you know, the very like, you know, it's all going according to his plan. Except for the fact that Loki doesn't have to choose to kill Sylvie. So that version of He Who Remains actually does get killed. Mr. Brody, as we sort of break down a lot of what we saw in the episode 6 finale, I want to know what you thought.
Well, I loved it. The ending was not what I expected. I thought he was going to kill Sylvie. Although I feel like if Sylvie was a man who looked like him, he would have killed him. I think he saw something sympathetic in her eyes. He clearly has some feelings for her. And I think, you know, universe be damned, I think he would have killed her had she not been who she is. But He Who Remains was fantastic. He kept dying, although you still feel, I mean, I guess you forget the pain of dying over and over again, because I would feel like he would remember it, but I guess he doesn't remember getting killed over and over and over again. The scene did remind me of the Doctor Strange Dormammu scene where he keeps coming back. I'm here to bargain. You know, I'm Doctor Strange. I'm here to bargain. That over and over and over again until you wear it down. But he wasn't going to wear down He Who Remains the way Dormammu eventually gave in. So I did like that he realized he wasn't going to beat him with his rules and he had to make his own rule. I liked that a lot. I did.
Yeah, no, I think that I think that I can definitely enjoy a show, a movie, a book, a comic where I'm in the middle and I'm like, okay, so this is what's going to happen. And then that is what happens. But when they manage to pull the rug out from under you and do something completely different, I will always welcome that change. And I thought it was very interesting to see, you know, him sort of going around and figuring out how to do it. More than centuries for him to figure it out. What were you going to say, David? Sorry.
Even when he went back in time to talk to Mobius on day one and Mobius tells the story of, you can't flinch. You have to do the hard thing. And he says, thank you. You know, you can't, it's the universe versus your feelings. Right. At that point, I thought absolutely he's killing Sylvie. Right. He got the pep.
100%.
They really made it look like He has no choice now. And now at least you've seen an explanation, a justification. He's going to kill her. And then I was really on board for the killing right up until the fact he didn't.
Yeah.
So
Christian, I was going to add one thing to what David said too.
Your quota for talking. All right. I'll you know what? I'll let you say it. Go ahead, Eric.
I have my Loki sauce. I don't need any of you bastards. David, you brought up Doctor Strange, which I still think that's one of the best Marvel movies. I don't care what anyone says.
You're talking about the first one?
First one, of course.
Okay. I was keeping my emotions beneath the surface before they exploded. Yes, the first one is very good.
Doctor Strange one all day long. And I think in both cases, too, beyond just like it's a kind of a smart, inventive way to play with time and play with a narrative to be ahead of the audience as well. But I think emotionally, the fact that both characters got there, one of the great things about Doctor Strange, it's a story about faith. And you don't really get that much unless it's like a super, kind of religious film that.
Yeah, unless Kirk Cameron's in it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. The mark of quality in any film is having Kirk Cameron in it, of course. And then in this case here, not so about faith, but it's about this incredibly wounded, creature discovering humanity. So a couple episodes ago, or was it one episode ago, when he's like, I want to save my friends. But then realizing to do that, the sacrifice he has to make isn't about Sylvie, about himself and becoming, in essence, like a big tree or a new version of the Beyonder. But really, I think the fact that we bought into his transformation, his arc, I think that was the neatest trick of this whole series, because that's definitely missing in a lot of the other shows, is the idea of a season of TV should be a character transforming.
Right. I think that I don't know. There's a lot more to think about it than I thought there was going to be. If he'd had to make the hard decision to just kill Sylvie, I feel like it would be a little bit more cut and dried. Well, for our regular audience, I think it's time for America's favorite game show. I honestly feel like this is a very easy version of this, but perhaps we're going to be a little bit more surprised by this week's installment of What Did Michael X. Shirley Like in Loki? We'll go down. I want to make sure that our visual audience gets to really see the graphic as we go through. But I'm going to say that the very end where he's basically dead and has turned into a tree, that is just the sense of that's the finish line. That's when you know it's over. You're done. I feel like that is the moment that Michael liked. Nate Miller, if you had to isolate something, what do you think it would be for Michael?
Well, because I do think that Michael has some sliver of a human soul. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it was there's that shot at the end where Mobius has gone back to like see what his life on the timeline looked like.
Yes.
And it just kind of holds on him and zooms in very slowly for a while. And it's very out of place for the kind of cinematic feel they've been going for. Very much, I don't know exactly why, it reminded me of some 70s movie that I can't remember, but I think that shot of him like seeing his family and just kind of standing there and talking with Sylvie, I thought that Michael hopefully derived some joy from that moment.
Well, the notion that Michael Shirley has a soul is the hottest take of all the hot takes here on the show. And just to reset the bit for those that maybe aren't familiar, Michael, again, hates Tom Hiddleston, hates Loki, mm-hmm. the character, does not enjoy this show. So we're going through trying
to... Doesn't like most of us.
No, I mean this version of the character. Yes, you like the comic book version. And I believe, Michael, you're on record that you do like Alligator Loki.
Yes. My very favorite Loki.
All right, that is not a hot take. I appreciate that, Eric.
No hair on it.
What do you think, Eric?
I apologize that I can't add something more original to this discussion, but I would agree with you, Christian. I think, and real specifically, not just him becoming a tree with a lot of consonants, but rather the moment where he's silent. And he's alone and he's not talking and he's got horns on his head, so you can't see his hair. I feel like that is as close to happiness as Michael's going to get in the Loki world.
I think you might have you might have sort of taken my idea and boosted it up over the fence and gotten us home with it. David Brody, your thoughts on what Michael might have liked in the Loki season 2 finale?
A lot of pressure. Last time we're playing this game with Loki, I'm the last one to go, and I haven't gotten one right yet.
So, no one has.
None of us have ever gotten it right. Yes.
Only came close. My second choice was Miss Minutes going black and white, and I didn't say it.
Yeah.
So knowing that Michael hates Loki in this iteration, I'm going to say when the screen said that Loki now had to waste centuries of his life.
That's a great point. Because that's
to
like
learn how to be a physicist, you know, and Obi's knowledge.
I mean, Michael, you've wasted time watching Tom Hiddleston as Loki, and it might feel like centuries, but it's not actual centuries. So, look, I think all of these are a good guess. I appreciate the fact that Nate took a more optimistic approach.
Yeah.
You know, we know how broken our Michael is, but let's let the Flurkin out of the bag, Michael. What was your moment in this finale of Loki?
Well, I absolutely like hated all of it, you know. So this episode was very heavy on Loki, very heavy on repeating things.
Yes.
Which really, 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 really got to me. There was a point where I just didn't know if I could take it all happening over and over again. And I know and understand why everyone would think that my favorite part would be him being stuck as a tree. But I could just tell this is not the last thing we're going to see from him. He's probably going to be the key to stopping Kang, in my opinion. So I feel like he's going to get a comeback. So my favorite choice for this episode has been my second choice. It's been on the back burner in case I couldn't find a first choice for every one of these episodes. My favorite part of this episode was Sylvie's wig. Long live rock and roll.
You know what? So, Nate, you didn't pick the right thing, but you did pick something. You were right that it was something positive. And Sylvie having a good wig, you know, I mean, let's never discredit the importance of having a good wig. I'm going to have to admit that I'm going to miss this game, the what did Michael like about Loki game. It's you know, it's no to catch an alien, but it is way up there. And I'm already having withdrawals more from this than actually the show itself. So were there moments other than the admiration of Sylvie's wig where you were in any way, Michael, compelled by the story, enjoying the story, or was it all just watching your own Miss Minutes wristwatch to know when the show was going to be over? Like, okay, now there's 56 minutes left.
I did stop in the middle and I was like, oh my God, it's an hour. if Kevin Feige promised me that this was the last we saw of him, I would say the point when he is like building this like world tree. I thought that him saying nothing and you could like reading his expression, it kind of gave me comic book vibes, like this kind of noble yet mischievous creature. I thought that scene was well done, but I felt like it was like a red herring. Like this isn't really the way it is, you know. Like,
right.
I think that Kang is and him are going to be coming together again.
Well, to Michael's point in the chat, Solomon Hembrin says, Loki is now more powerful than Kang because he's asked it as a question. So is Loki more powerful than Kang because he can control time without the Tempad? I think that he's not more powerful than Kang because of how long Kang has been at this. However, I do agree with the notion that we would be very likely to see him again, because if there's anyone who understands Kang and understands what might work to try to beat him, it might be this version of Loki. But I'll ask each of you what you think. What do you think, Nate? Do you think, one, we'll see this Loki again, and will it be because he might very well be able to at least mount an assault on Kang, whether or not he would actually be able to win? That's not the point.
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think we're going to see this other Loki outside of maybe a reference in the movies, but specifically since they have been making an effort to keep them separate, I think having him appear in his garb from this show carrying a bunch of green vines, people in the theaters are going to be like, what is happening? So I do think we will see Loki, but I think it is a very important distinction, as was lined out in the first season, that this is not the Loki that we know. This is the Loki that we pulled out post the first Avengers movie, and didn't experience all the other stuff with Thanos and all that later. That Loki is dead, but may come back because he's a god. So I think we will see that Loki, and I don't think he's going to know anything about this. I really feel like this is building the mythology of the Marvel universe. This is the, like, at least from my reading, is he's literally holding the strands of time together. Like, he can't leave. If he leaves, then the whole point of him sacrificing himself and his existence for everyone else is kind of moot. And especially in terms of, like, power levels, I would definitely assume he's got more power than Kang right now. But the powerful thing about Kang is not his individual power. It's that every iteration of him across the multiverse in different timelines has this lust for more power and uses their, you know, technology advancements, whatever, in their universe to become that, like, multiversal timeline threat, right? Like, it's the damage that comes from the timeline is from the Kangs battling themselves, not from them battling some outside force.
Not Kang, but He Who Remains even mentions it in this episode to Loki, is that there's too many of me, and the idea that he would be able to get them all, it's like, no, that's not the way it works. Our pal Cammy Egan in the chat: I enjoyed this season way more than the first. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Cammy Egan. Eric, your thoughts sort of on the future of Loki, specifically this Loki, when and where, if we might see him again.
Yeah, to your point, like, if we suddenly had a moment where we go and there's Loki as this tree man holding a bunch of vines, people in the theater, you'll hear a collective, what the fuck's going on here? So... And considering that, they explained away an entire season of WandaVision with one throwaway line in Doctor Strange 2, the chances of this Loki showing up are pretty small. Chances of Loki coming back, however, not so small. If any character can sort of survive these various incarnations, multiverses, and questionable Marvel creative choices, it's Loki. And if for no other reason, again, because part of what's keeping Marvel going right now is Michael Shirley's rage. So that at the center of it, they don't want to mess that up. I like how they sort of set up now the TVA is going after Kangs. I think that might be something they could work in without too much explanation. The idea of, like, Kangs are out there and there's some kind of higher power trying to stop them. I think that you could actually work in without much difficulty. But yeah, I agree. This version of Loki, I don't know, maybe we'll have a flyby real quick and they'll wave. And that's about it, because otherwise it's just too much to unpack for a film.
Well, but before I go to you, David, Cammy Egan is pointing out season two was confirmed right after the season one finale. Yeah. Season three has not been announced. Do you think we'll get one? She says within the next year or two. I don't think there'll be another season of the show. I think if we see him again, it would be most likely another Loki, and definitely in a different setting. Daniel Drew agrees with me. That's how I know I'm right. He doesn't think they will if they have more story to tell. But even Daniel doesn't think they need another season. Your thoughts, David, on the future of the Prince of Lies, the God of Mischief, if you will.
Well, I wanted to add to what Eric said about how they're monitoring Kangs. They made a reference to Quantumania when they went to Mobius, and he said, there's a little bit of side action in 616, which I guess they meant the, you know, the microverse. Well, I forget what it was called. But they referenced the Kang we saw fighting Ant-Man, and then he dismissed it as, hey, he started a little trouble, but he's, you know, he's taken care of. Because I guess that Kang is dead, for all we know. And then you had Renslayer, who we have to assume trains Eliath, like the loop is going to start again, because she sees Eliath. We don't see Eliath, but we're reminded that she somehow tames Eliath. So this cycle is going to repeat itself again eventually. But since, and in a recent article, Hiddleston said the ultimate goal for Marvel is to get the brothers back together, for Loki and Thor to get back together. So I don't think this Loki may get back, but maybe since he can adjust time, maybe he saves his future Loki that he saw die. Maybe he finds a way to save him or take his place and die. But I don't think this Loki will be seen again, which I think was the original question.
Let me ask you specifically, David, because this was something you brought up in a past episode. Do we have the resolution on the version of Loki that Loki pruned, is that who he sent to the end of time with He Who Remains? Did we see that? Is that answered satisfactorily? Obviously, Michael, you wouldn't be satisfied, but what does the rest of the class think? You seem to think that, Nate, it looked like you were nodding your head, or perhaps I'm mistaken. Do you feel like we've gotten the resolution on that version of Loki that got pruned in an earlier episode?
Yeah. From my understanding, that was he had to get pruned to stop time slipping.
Right.
So that was from earlier in the season. As to where he went, I think he just, that was what we saw last episode, where he was like in the TVA alone.
Okay.
And it was like either after everyone had like started dissolving or something like that. I'm that's how I interpreted it, is that's part of the reason why. Remember, like He Who Remains says in this episode that he intentionally caused Loki to be unstuck in time. So I think that the pruning was relevant for him to be there again at the end of time when everything is dissolving and the loop is about to kind of start again.
So interestingly enough, the comment that I want from the chat is actually from Nate, and I like his on-screen avatar so much that I wanted to have a you're making the point that and Ivan Soto seems to feel otherwise, that He Who Remain, I agree with you. He did not lose. We're exactly where we were at the end of the first season, where he knows what's next. He's not worried about any of it. So this iteration of him dying, or at least there being an end to its existence, but in a way that we probably don't even understand, I think that, this is all going according to maybe not the sacred timeline, but it's going perfectly for the plan that Kang has. Eric or David, how do you feel about where Kang / He Who Remains is at the end of season two? Is this basically exactly what he was expecting?
Yeah, because the multiversal war has to happen. He needs to win the multiversal war. Right. If the loom isn't destroyed, there's no multiversal war for him to win and then become He Who Remains. That's why I said Renslayer is in a perfect position now to train Eliath to help He Who Remains win when the Kang Dynasty happens. So he's just going to end up, and the TVA is going to have to start again, prune the timelines. Loki will have to win again, but it's only a temporary win because ultimately, He Who Remains, it's like, remember this Star Trek episode where Spock loses his wife to the other guy, and she says, if you won the fight, you wouldn't want me, and I would have Stan. And then if he won, I would have Stan. And I think that's what this is about. If He Who Remains gets him not to destroy the loom, He Who Remains wins. And if he destroys the loom, ultimately, He Who Remains wins. So there's no end to this loop, because it's going to keep happening. It can't not happen because the Kangs are going to have a war again. And the only way to stop it was to kill Renslayer, and they didn't. Because had you killed Renslayer, a different Kang would have won, possibly.
David, I think I have to remind you that Star Trek is for nerds. But I know exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
thank you, nerd.
It's absolutely right. speaking of nerds, Eric, your thoughts on where this all plays out in the master plan of all the Kangs, the Council of Kangs, the dynasty of the Kangs.
Well, let's make no mistake. The most important character in this whole story wasn't in this story, and that's Jonathan Majors' attorney. Because right now, Disney is holding on by their fingernails when it comes to what they're going to do with him. And so I think that, ironically, is like so much of this is not even about the control of these writers and the directors and the, you know, Kevin Feige, but really just like what's going to happen with Jonathan Majors. That's going to change a lot of this, I think, potentially.
Yeah, but look, I think that either they recast or they figure out a way. I know how you feel about recasting, Michael, but I think that
Terrence Howard in the role. Oh, yeah. And then it's a perfect circle.
Fine.
That's right. Actually, yeah, you weren't here last week, Michael. That was the solution, I believe. Yeah. David, was that either you or a guest Andy Smith? I think that was you, David, right? You said that they should replace Jonathan Majors with Terrence Howard.
With Terrence Howard, yeah. Then he could be he who's renamed.
but I think him as He Who Remains, he was trapped in there. I mean, I never got that sense that He Who Remains was like his goal. I think quite the opposite. I mean, one of the great things about his performance when we first met him is he's unhinged. He seemed like a guy who'd been trapped there for multiple millennia, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think like, this basically was the reset button he needed. He's now, you know, free and gaining some steam to really cause some major havoc everywhere. But so I think, you know, he's always been 12 steps ahead. So the idea this all played out, you know, thinking back to Doctor Strange with holding up the one finger to Iron Man when he was about to basically sacrifice himself. I think Kang did exactly what he wanted. He got this all thing to play out. I think he knew that Loki was going to go sort of take care of, feed the tree, to quote Belly, which I never get to do. And so now,
nerd. Loki's like,
yeah, I'm that nerd. I might not be able to quote Star Trek like y'all, but 90s all-girl rock, yeah. I'm all over. So, anywho, I think
Eric still has a picture of Kennedy up on his wall from Alternative Nation. Not the current version of her, but
hey, don't make me bring
that took a dark turn.
You have Tank Girl over there somewhere. I know I've seen you hold it up before. I think that I think that iteration of, you know, so He Who Remains, to Ivan Soto's point, no, He Who Remains does not win per se, but Kang is going to win. And He Who Remains knows his role in the grand scheme of things, and he knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. He's arguably, depending on how you perceive the way that they have the flow of time, he's already lived through all of it. Like, he knows what's going to happen. And this is literally He Who Remains is him at the end of it. But just back to the earlier point is, I don't think that obviously Jonathan Majors is a real world problem for Marvel and Disney, but I don't know how much it changes the direction the story goes. It's just going to change possibly what he looks like, you know, and it might open up the door to him looking like other people, and it could all, you know, multiple people, or to the point for Michael.
David had to go take a shit or something. What's up with that?
No, kind of hunkered away.
He does that on camera. He does.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for all of you, but let's just say some of us get the opportunity to do that while we're doing the show. You know?
Yeah. No one has any idea. Christian's sitting on a toilet right now.
Yeah,
it's a bucket. He's nomad landing it.
What do you mean?
The middle of the McDonald's.
Thank you. Yeah. Well,
that bucket reference is really old, and I love that Eric threw it in there.
That's old, OG.
I don't even know.
Nomad land.
Oh, Nomadland.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I did. I know. We talked so much about that.
We did.
I blocked it from my memory. Eric, of course, has been responsible for some great work over the course of Loki as a series. Of course, both seasons. You know, not everyone that you see on screen with us was here in the first season. So poor Eric had to actually do some work and make some new ones. And we have seen the David Brody Loki variant poster before. But Nate, I have to ask, have you ever seen yours? I don't know if I've ever actually shown it.
I feel like I would remember this.
Nate, I'm going to show it.
I see a new avatar coming.
And I'm pretty sure, Nate, if you had seen it, you would remember. You would remember if you had seen Eric's hard work showing off the Nate Miller.
Dead.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I think it's just great. Eric, is there one that you're proudest of? I don't even know how you feel about your own.
I mean, listen, it's like asking me which of my two sons are my favorite. The answer is, well, whoever behaves better that day. So, I think they're all versions of us. I will say, Christian, the one of you running for office, I think is, it's pretty special. I think that's one, but really the one that might've been the best was, for our, one of our first season co-hosts.
I knew this was coming.
That's a great look.
Well, this is an OG one. This is from last season.
That's a season one. Yeah.
I look like Thea.
You're saying it like it's a bad thing. I don't even understand these comments that you're making.
It was brown and black, not blonde.
Hey,
and black.
What would you rather look like? What would you rather look like, Sia or Zia? All right, you tell me, Michael. Who would you rather look like?
Sia did just get a facelift.
How can you tell with under all that hair?
All right, wait a minute. I didn't think it was turning into that kind of show.
The hair starts in the back now.
Oh, must be nice.
Mine's wearing a high pony these days.
Yeah. So Michael, this is the one you like the most, right? I'm sorry, Eric, you like the one of me campaigning as Loki? Yeah.
It just feels like you were born in that suit.
What was that, Nate?
I thought that was Tom Hiddleston. I didn't realize that was you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, in fact, Michael hates it now because it's...
Yeah,
it's like Tom Hiddleston.
It's true. Michael hates me even more now because of that.
Oh, and that greasy hair of his. I'm so glad to not look at that hair.
Oh, as lucky as I am to have my hair. If only I had had glorious follicles on top of my head. Michael, I know we've spent time talking about how you don't enjoy this show.
Yeah.
If there's no third option, there are only two options. Mm-hmm. If you had to rewatch a season of Loki or rewatch Secret Invasion, there's only those two options. What Suicide is not an option. So what would you do? Was this worse for you than watching Secret Invasion? I think it's an important question.
I mean, do you mean watching one season?
Let's just say it's the same number of episodes. Only one season of Loki. Basically, if you had to go and rewatch one of them, and it was one season of Loki or the entirety of Secret Invasion, how would you compare the two? And I know that you're not supposed to be able to compare art. But sometimes art needs to be compared to other art. And Secret Invasion definitely deserves it.
Man.
Tell the truth.
That first episode of Secret Invasion was pretty good.
I do remember you saying that. And Nate and I were the only ones
saying that, actually.
No. Nate and I were in the beginning. It was just you and Eric. You were the only ones.
Can we get the tape up, please?
It would be that hard. Yeah, I could dust it off.
I think the hair flips are just too much, and I like Olivia Colman. Secret Invasion.
All right. Look, at least you have a reason why, and you know, Olivia Colman was at least mostly watchable.
Quite good.
But yeah, I don't know. I think for most people, this is the Marvel Disney Plus series that that they like the most. It's the most fully realized because it had a second season. It's by all intentions, it's done now. And
I think WandaVision is probably like I would like to see a poll for that because I think that would probably
I think you'll find that people agree that WandaVision starts very strong and runs out of gas a little bit, and they were done a disservice by having to halt production for as long as they were because of the pandemic. It doesn't end strong, and don't forget how heavily Catherine Hahn factors into the last couple episodes.
I was about to say that the last episode's a little rough for that show.
Hey, Christian.
Yes, sir.
I know that we're going to be doing, you're going to be doing the Marvels breakdown next week.
Well, yeah, yes, but go ahead.
But,
yes.
But I watched the Marvels last night, no spoilers, but they did a big injustice to WandaVision in that movie.
That almost sounds like a spoiler, but it's interesting because
that's a tease.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about when we were talking about, you know, the idea of seeing TV characters, you know, I mean, Ms. Marvel, you know, sorry, it's called the Marvels, but two of the three leads are characters that are coming out of the TV shows, and they definitely didn't hand out like a Cliff Notes when you sat in the theater to like tell you who they both were. You know, it's a lot of like, I think that the approach for the TV series versus the movies is we're going to give a reasonable explanation as to who someone is or what happened. It'll help if you see the shows, but we don't want you to be lost. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that would factor in too much. If Loki's a tree in a future movie, I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying that it's not impossible.
You don't feel like someone's going to go and visit him and talk to him and try to figure out this Kang stuff? Because I do.
No, I mean, I can see somebody trying to, you know, consult him. Let me ask this. Does anybody think we'll see Sylvie again? Because I don't know when, but I feel like it would be very likely that we would see her again.
Yes. So,
yeah. And they can always do the time travel workaround that it's not actually this Sylvie. It's just another Sylvie who's another variant of Loki, et cetera, et cetera.
I think we're going to see her and Thor having some interesting interactions, or maybe her and Natalie Portman.
I'm trying to remember how that movie ended.
Oh yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, she's with Idris Elba. By the way, we should all be so lucky.
I think Michael's writing some fan fiction on the side here.
No, but I think Sylvie and Thor, I could definitely see that being an interaction that somebody, you know, has planned out. But I don't know. I'm very happy with the show. And I know Michael, you weren't, but this is the proverbial 4 out of 5 dentists agree.
Yeah,
Michael is the dentist. Michael is the dentist that hands out chewing gum because he wants your kids to have to come back.
Chewy caramels.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Michael's the Steve Martin from Little Shop of Horrors dentist.
Oh. Interesting that you brought the focus back on yourself by mentioning Little Shop of Horrors, which I'm the one of us who got to see. I would say that Eric Conner, it was a tour de force, your performance in Little Shop of Horrors. And I hope it was a tour of something. But yeah, let us know in the chat if you're not watching live, you know, just leave a comment, or you can always catch up with us on social media. And I think that it was, yes, there is that tendency that I oftentimes don't like when characters are reliving scenes again and again and again. I think they didn't dwell on it too long. And that, you know, that could have been the undoing of this episode, but I think they did it in a way where I was engaged and I was watching it at like, I don't know, midnight. So it kept me awake. And Michael, I know that I'm speaking only for myself. But very happy with the way it ended. I have fond memories of our time with Loki, and we had already seen Mobius on the jet ski. So the last shot was not going to be him on the jet ski, but it was essentially what a lot of us thought was that he was going to eventually realize that he should go back to his timeline. You know, he wasn't going to work for the TVA anymore. You know, he's not going to work on Maggie's farm no more. So I thought that it was basically the ending we wanted. The last image of the show, if it had gone from Tree Loki right to Mobius riding a, it could have even been a Sea-Doo. That would have been fine too. You know, it's whatever. But I don't know. Very happy with it. And it seems like most of you in the chat were happy with the way it went. It leaves some questions. That's what remains. Not he who remains, but there are questions who remain. And personally, very happy with it. But I don't know. We could. I feel like when we've got those time to fill episodes, you know, in the winter, we might have to compare all of our, basically all of our Marvel Disney Plus shows. So before we wind things down a little bit, there are some programming notes to mention, something that David Brody mentioned in passing. So tonight, that's right, Friday, November the 10th, there will indeed be another episode of this show streaming on the Geekscape YouTube channel. It'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, giving plenty of time for those of you who maybe haven't seen The Marvels yet to head out and see it. I know, Mr. Connor, I know that you'll be seeing it today with your aforementioned boys. And maybe your favorite will be determined by whose opinion of the movie closely resembles yours, right?
No, of course. I mean, these kids are just my own variants, and whoever reminds me of a better version of me is the one that gets my love. So, yeah, we'll see where they land. But no, we're all pretty excited. We're seeing it at the Chinese theater and the IMAX, the real IMAX, not the BS IMAX we have here in Burbank.
Well, I will be taking my 8-year-old son and my 6-year-old daughter to their first MCU movie in theater. Cool. The episode tonight will be with our pal Jeff Williams, who you know, he's usually much too busy to be on our show, but he had time to take the hour 45-minute drive from Culver City to Burbank on Tuesday night, and he joined me. He made it just in time. And he and I have, I will let you behind the curtain. We have already recorded that episode, so no time for the live chat. But we will be doing another live reaction. We'll be doing a live reaction, so another reaction, but this one will indeed be live. That one will be Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's not the only one. I think we're going to squeeze in one more. It's Marvel movie talk. It's a Marvel movie. We're going to talk about it, but, so you can watch tonight at 10 PM Eastern, 7 Pacific, and then also on Wednesday at 3 PM Eastern, 12 Pacific. And I believe, Eric Connor, you'll be there for that, for the Wednesday show. Yes,
indeed.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I was talking to Nate a little bit before we started that I very much enjoyed the movie. I had a lot of fun is the way I keep summarizing it. I wasn't looking for more from it, but as the reactions from people I know have come to me directly, I'm starting to feel like those maniacs who liked the series finale of Lost, and everyone just looks at them and says, like, how could you have liked that? And they're like, I don't know, I just did. And so I'm starting to feel that way. Even from, I'll have a half a spoil. Even people on this network were not blown away by this movie. But I had fun. I'm seeing it again, and Ivan Soto gives the endorsement. I enjoyed it. I really did. And I know Daniel Drew's already messaged me that he liked it, but he's also, you know, he's a bit of a Kamala Khan homer. You know, I mean, I think if just getting to see her, if it's like Ms. Marvel uses her big embiggened hands to turn the pages of the phone book for an hour and 45 minutes, I feel like Daniel would be like, it was great. It was fantastic.
Were you at the showing where she came out and introduced the movie?
I was not at that, but I do know someone who was at a screening at on campus at USC yesterday. Feige was there. Nia DaCosta, the director, was there. Iman Vellani was there. The one bit of business that I want to touch on, because it's relevant to all of this, is the fact that the SAG-AFTRA strike has ended. And it just the timing of it really felt like Bob Iger was like, look, we got to get Brie Larson on Jimmy Kimmel Friday night. So whatever it takes, let's get this strike over, because we need people to go see this damn movie. But Eric, you shared with me some of the news that came with that, is just obviously reshuffling release dates.
Yeah.
Captain America, New World Order, that's now 2025. Deadpool 3 pushed a little further back. And I think that that's...
You mean Liv Tyler, the movie?
Look, if Liv Tyler is in that movie, then we'll be so lucky, you know.
She is. And we didn't even talk about Lego Marvel Codename Red, which is on Disney Plus, that I
haven't
watched.
Seen it. I know it you did watch
terrified.
It. You're terrified of the Lego
Tyler. It has me terrified Liv Tyler is going to be Red She-Hulk, and if that happens, I'm going on strike.
Where would you strike, Michael? If Liv Tyler,
yeah, what would you strike from?
Yeah, well,
the cigarettes or the drinking?
All right, I have to say I like that one. And the best thing about Michael is that Michael liked that more than any of us did. You know,
I can't give up the cigarettes, baby. Can't give up the cigarettes.
But I would love to see where you would be striking Liv Tyler as Red She-Hulk. So that's a plot point from the Lego Marvel show that you watched on Disney Plus, which, by the way, I forgot that you had told me you were going to watch it. I completely forgot that was even on.
Yeah, she's Red She-Hulk in it.
Oh,
well, not Liv Tyler, but Red She-Hulk as Betty
of
Ross.
All the things, but I know we talked about this, but of all the things to bring back from the early Marvel films, her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it boggles the mind. Like everything else they could have grabbed from Iron Man 1 or 2 or the Hulk, her. I'm sorry. So I'll line up with you on this, Michael. I will join you on that picket line in the middle of downtown Nashville.
But what if Jennifer Connelly was Red She-Hulk?
Oh,
she was in the Ang Lee.
She would never. She would never.
No, I don't think
never.
I don't think she would. Yeah. And Ivan apparently enjoyed Lego Marvel Code Red, so I will have to look for this and check it out. But I believe that those are the only announced versions. You know what? And Ivan Soto does make the great point. Why not Jennifer Connelly? She's married to Vision. You know what, Ivan? I like the way you're thinking there. You're putting the pieces together.
She's married
to Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate that, Ivan. In any case, but Eric, I think that those were the announced release schedule shifts. I'm still waiting for my Kraven movie, by the way. And I recently talked to someone I know who works at Sony, who I don't know who that is, but I am still very excited and optimistic for the Kraven movie, because because why not? Anyway, so there'll be plenty of Marvel's talk on Marvel Movie Talk. It'll be Marvel's Movie Talk. See how not clever that was? Yep, I'm proud of it anyway. We can just figure out a way to grab that Ms. Marvel S and just slap it right over there.
They should have done that with the opening last night when I went to the film and it said Marvel Studios. And I thought they were going to take the S and bring Studios away. They did not do that.
Feige
should call me.
You wanted the Studios.
S was right there.
The word studio is very unpleasant.
Yeah.
Studios.
We know when, but in terms of more Marvel content, we know when Echo is going to be. We talked about that on a recent episode. And the What If season 2 is still around Christmas. So we don't have a day. We don't know when it is.
This Christmas? Like that, you know, like what? As in a month?
They didn't specify. So that's on me. Yes, post Hanukkah, exactly. But tune in for our Marvel's episodes. We'll let you know when you can see us. We've got you know, we've always got fun stuff coming up here. Including, as I mentioned earlier, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, Jeff Williams Jr. and myself talking about the Marvels, and next Wednesday at 3 Pacific, noon Eastern, a live Marvels reaction show with Eric Connor and guests to be announced. It will not just be the two of us. We'll see who else might be there. I'll see if I might be able to find any Brooklyn boys who would be interested in joining.
Could be.
Well, so, but that'll be it for now. But I want to let everybody know where they can find each and every one of us. You can, of course, find me at ChristianDMZ on social media and my personal podcast, The Blackcast, BLADTCAST. And Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Who Are These Podcasts Network for Who Are These Broadcasters. And literally last night I was pulling clips from a Republican debate, and I feel like I've made some kind of mistake in an approach to producing content that I was pulling clips from that. Eric Connor, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me hanging around the Count Eric Connor landscape over at X. I'm sorry, X. As well as Instagram. And gentlemen, the sad thing about a show ending is I don't get to hang out with you each week. So hopefully
you're gonna see me on Wednesday.
Yeah, but you're not the one I want to see. Oh. The other ones, you I see. The other ones, yeah. I don't see so much. So that's pleasure spending six episodes with all you.
Well, yes, but Nate, I'm sure we'll find an occasion to have you back on before too long. But to keep in touch with Nate, where do people find you, Nate?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at Dog Like Nate with two G's.
And our aforementioned Brooklyn boy, David Brody, where?
You can find me co-hosting the Brooklyn Boys podcast on all platforms, including Amazon. As of next week, the Amazon audio platform we're being added to. And you can find me on social media at David Brody, B-R-O-D-Y, on Instagram, and the artist formerly known as Twitter.
And as always, America's sweetheart, Michael Shirley. I know that you can be found at I Hate Michael Shirley, but I don't think anyone actually feels that way. Where can you be found, sir?
Oh, you'd be surprised. sorry, I was just thinking of some events earlier this week. You can find me on Twitter at, I'm waiting for Eric, Michael X Shirley.
Well, we'll all be back before you know it, but tune in for our Marvel's episodes that I mentioned earlier. That is all the time we have for now. We'll see you next time. We'll see you tonight, and we'll see you again on Wednesday. But as the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.